An honest politician and a scrupulous lawyer and Santa Claus were all in an elevator together. When the elevator door opened, there was a $100 bill laying on the floor. Which one picked it up? Santa Claus, of course. The other two don't exist. It's just a joke. Just a joke. All right. But there does seem to be a noticeable lack of the character quality of integrity in our society today. Not to continue down the vein of politicians, but only about 30% of Americans feel like the government can be trusted. But at the same time, nobody thinks that dishonesty is really that big of a deal. If you can get away with it, it's just fine. It's almost expected. Even the church, maybe broaden it to the religious establishment, is viewed with incredible suspicion by much of the world today. Some of that's well-founded. But at the same time, that's unacceptable. It's certainly unacceptable to God, and it should be unacceptable to us. Now, I can't do anything about any other place, but since you're here, what we can do is make sure that this body of believers is representing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ well. That is our calling. That is our assignment. That's our responsibility. So this morning, we're going to be looking at the integrity effect from the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to begin by looking at chapter 11 and verse 3, and then we will discuss this a little bit more. It says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them." The integrity of the upright guides them. Let's bow before the Lord as we begin this. Father, I pray that you would direct our thoughts and help us to be willing to be honest with ourselves, not just say, "I'm doing okay," but would we truly examine this particular area of our lives and want to come away from this as people who are representing you well. And I just ask you to direct our time in your word this morning, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see the effect of integrity. There is a contrast that's being drawn here. In chapter 3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. A vivid contrast being made. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the second part of this, but we've got to notice the contrast. There is a reward, there is a promise for those who seek integrity and seek to live the life of integrity. And there's devastation, there's destruction in store for those that really don't care, who don't think that honesty is a big thing. And so we look at this, and I want to start by just kind of defining what it is that we're talking about biblically. When you look at this word and its roots in both the Old and New Testament, you come up with these concepts: something that is whole, something that is complete, even perfect. Now, before we shrink back from that too much, we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but these are the concepts behind it. Now, all kinds of leadership books have been written. Most all of them will give a chapter or so on integrity. Everybody knows the importance of integrity, but they come about it from different ways. Some of the definitions are good. It's like being the same person no matter where you are, no matter what crowd you're with, no matter what situation you're involved in, your convictions stay the same and you live them. It's the courage to live out your convictions. But biblically, there's always this thing of being whole, of being complete. So using just a very basic analogy, if there was a cherry pie sitting here and there was one piece out of it, you would say it lacks integrity because it's not whole. And some will argue, well, that's the point of it, right? So the analogy falls flat, I know that. But that's the idea of wholesomeness, completeness. When we look at this and how it's used in Scripture, there are a number of things. Pastor Justin was mentioning the sacrifices that we read about in the Old Testament. And we will see times when God says, your sacrifice must be perfect, something without defect. Now, no animal was ever going to be perfect, but other places it defines it more clearly that it can't be sick, it can't be blind, it can't be lame, it can't have its hair falling out because of lice or whatever else. As far as you can see, it has to be perfect. There's an account where Joshua was fighting a battle and he prayed and asked God to make the sun stand still so that he could finish the job. And in the record of that, it says the sun stood still for a full day. That's that same word, whole, a complete day. And so there's this kind of a concept behind it. Now, when we talk about people, here's where we shrink back from the idea of perfection, because none of us are. But consistency is possible, and it is logical, and it is reasonable. It is possible for us to grow to the place where there aren't these huge gaps in our character, or these huge lapses in time where we fall into a place of disrepair spiritually. None of us are ever going to be perfect, but there can be a wholesomeness to where someone looking at us will have to say, yeah, they're a person of their word. They do what they say. They always fulfill what they promise to do. They are a person of integrity. Now, again, as we look at Scripture here, we find all kinds of examples of this. And the only one who ever was perfect, of course, was the Lord Jesus. And he was so perfect, sinless, that when it came down to it, they had to hire people to lie about him in order to find an accusation against him. But there are others who were not God that this term is used. Noah is described as a man of integrity, that he was just, that he walked with God. In his generation, he was a man of integrity. Job, the term is used multiple times in talking about Job, that he was a man of integrity. And because he was, in the greatest trial that could ever be experienced by anyone, he was able to say, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That doesn't come without some history, without some years of walking with God. Daniel is another one. He's one of the very few in all of the Bible that nothing negative is stated about him. And as Daniel, though he started as a slave, was raised to power in the kingdoms that he served in, there were a lot of people that didn't like it. And so they started looking at ways they could bring him down, find fault with him. But what it says about Daniel is remarkable. It says, then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. Isn't that amazing? He was trustworthy. He was faithful. He was loyal. He was always responsible. When he wasn't in the office, they got into his computer, hacked the password, and checked everything on there. They couldn't find anything. They managed to grab his phone and check the history. Couldn't find anything. They dug through the file cabinets. Couldn't find anything. So their only conclusion was, well, we're going to have to find something in regards to his faith. I know he prays. Let's make a rule that you can't pray. All right. And this is the thing. This is the way we are supposed to live, and it's possible that we can. That they would, somebody that's a naysayer would say of us, well, I guess the only thing we're going to find is if we make some kind of rule regarding their worship. And this is the standard that we're being called to. This is what it's about. The integrity of the upright guides them. And this is the promise that's connected with this. Integrity will guide. It will lead us along, even literally pull us along. There are some times when the term is used that it describes herding, not hurting, herding, like a group of animals, just guiding them along, making sure they go where they're supposed to go. One translation words it, integrity keeps us on track. And it does this for us. This having this conviction and having this walk with God that we are going to be whole, we're going to be complete, we're going to be faithful and true. Decisions are already made for us. We don't even have to stop and think about it. Now, the promise is specifically given to the upright. Given to the upright, he says. The integrity of the upright guides them. So people who are upright, right side up with God, in a right relationship with Him, people that are being shaped by Him and shaped by His Word, there is no place for debate when God has spoken clearly. There is no place for arguments. When God has spoken, we have one response. Yes, sir. I'll do it. So this is the upright. In New Testament terminology, it's those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ alone for their eternal life. That's the upright, those who are right side up in the sight of God. Integrity will guide them. There are people who don't know Christ who have some moral goodness. People who would be labeled as being people of integrity. But there are always going to be things that God has said in His Word that are going to turn us sideways. And if we don't have that relationship with Him, we're going to back up and we're going to say, nah, I don't know, I wouldn't go that far. But the upright, those who are in a right relationship with God, are going to hear Him speak, going to say, okay, That means what it said. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to obey. And decisions are made. For the people of integrity, there are so many things. We just look at what He said, and we're going to let that shape our lives. Now, for me personally, I'm not going to vote for someone who will take the life of an unborn child. I'm not going to vote for someone who's trying to redefine marriage. I'm not going to vote for someone who just disregards the things that God has said in His Word. In that arena, that's what it means to me. It would also mean I'm not going to make a decision, a financial decision, that's going to put my family in jeopardy just because I want something. It means I'm not going to fool around in my relationship with my wife. I'm not going to do anything, make any decisions that would jeopardize that relationship. God's word is going to shape the things that we do. It's going to help us in our basic relationships in life. Again, decisions are already made. We don't shun anybody, but the scripture is clear. We've got to be careful about people that we let into the very intimate places of our lives, because they'll affect us. Proverbs is full of that kind of instruction. We'll get there eventually. Just our moral choices, our decisions that we make, integrity will be our guide, because we are committed to being shaped and molded by God, His Word, His will. That's the promise that comes to the person of integrity. The integrity of the upright guides them. The crooked, however, they'll be destroyed. Now, there are several components that make up integrity, and I'm going to look at three of them that Proverbs discusses. And so some components of integrity. The first thing we're going to take a look at is that it involves being direct. Integrity involves being direct. If you would back up to chapter 3 of Proverbs, looking to verses 27 and 28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. And the idea is you've got it with you in your pocket. It's in your possession right there. So whatever it might be there. But this being direct means being straightforward, not evasive, giving an honest answer to an honest question, not saying maybe or if or I'll think about it or those kinds of things. It's those situations where you're being asked something that you wish you weren't being asked, and you don't want to just say no to that person. So instead, well, let me think about it. You fully mean no in your heart, but let me think about it. I think about all the time when my kids were small. Now, my grandkids, it still happens. They'll ask you something. I don't want to say no. Maybe. We'll think about it. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's the teaching of Scripture. Speak the truth, but speak it in love, of course, but speak the truth. Just be honest. Now, the scenario being laid out here with your neighbor, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Maybe they've borrowed something, or they want to borrow something from you, and you really don't want to do it, but you're just putting them off. Maybe tomorrow. Or you've borrowed something from them and they would like it back, and you're saying, well, maybe tomorrow. It's those kinds of things. You know, when somebody comes to your door selling cookies, and you don't want to do it, but I don't have any money with me right now. Can you come back tomorrow? If you just be honest, be direct. That's a part of integrity. Nobody likes to do that. Nobody likes to be direct, but it's part of it. A second component of this just involves being honest. Ridiculously honest in our dealings. In chapter 16, and this is spoken of several times in Proverbs, this particular concept. Chapter 16, verse 11. Says, a just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are His work. So a just balance and scales are the Lord's. So in a thing of measurement, here's Lady Justice with her balance, with her scales. And you put a product on one side and you put a counterweight on the other side. Anybody remember going to the doctor's office when you stepped on one of those scales and they moved the weight things? You know, that goes back a ways. That was before the digital stuff. I don't like the digital stuff anymore. It's too honest. But it's that. So here's a weight, a bag of weights, he says. They belong to the Lord. He knows what they are. When you have a weight that says half a pound, make sure it weighs half a pound. When you have a weight that says a pound, make sure it weighs a pound, not three quarters of a pound, so that when somebody is buying some wheat from you and they counterbalance it, they think they're buying a pound of wheat, and they're only getting three quarters of a pound. He says, the honest stuff belongs to God. He knows about the weights. So it's an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. It's all of these things, just being honest in our dealings. There used to be kind of an analogy. I even remember hearing about it in a song once. It was called Practice What You Preach, but it talked about a guy going to a meat market, and the butcher would sell you a pound of meat and a half a pound of thumb, resting his thumb on the scale, you know. Don't do that. Be honest in everything, ridiculously honest. We like to say honesty pays. People, sometimes it costs. Sometimes you have to go back to a store when you were undercharged for something or they missed it somehow and make it right. You don't say, well, that's their problem. No, we make it right. We are honest in all of our dealings. There's another verse with another take on this in chapter 20. In verse 14, bad, says the buyer. But when he goes away, then he boasts. So we're in a haggling sort of situation, a bartering kind of a thing. And you just, this is worthless. This thing, this isn't worth anything. You keep bringing a person down till they're finally just wanting to get rid of you. And then going around boasting about the kind of deal you just made. Fair is fair. And just be fair. I wish all of society was that way. You know, we just get a fair price for everything. Wouldn't have to worry about it. But he's just saying, you be fair. Some pay what something is worth. Don't try to discredit. Don't try to tear something down or somebody down. Just be honest in your dealings. Don't be one of those people that they say, oh no, here comes so-and-so. Because I know the way they're going to act. Honesty is a part of integrity. The third component I would just mention here is that it involves being truthful. And that's like, well, duh, of course it would. But isn't it funny how that gets left behind sometimes? Chapter 12. In verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Those who act faithfully are his delight. You know what an abomination is? It's really, really bad. It's just bad. God hates lying. Again, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't ever let people think about you, I wonder if he's telling me the truth. I wonder if he really means that. Just be truthful. And we like to say, oh, that wasn't important. That's just a little white lie. That's really insignificant. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Ridiculous honesty, ridiculous truthfulness. We are to be people of integrity. And there is no plan B. People of integrity, that's what God expects. Truthfulness, directness, honesty, the integrity of the upright guides them. And that, my friends, is a good, good thing. Everybody knows about the Titanic. 1912, this huge ocean liner on its maiden voyage, struck an iceberg, sank in the Atlantic Ocean. 1,500 plus people lost their lives that night. For decades, people just, you know, the Titanic hit an iceberg. It sunk, assuming a catastrophic kind of failure there. Only when they actually discovered where the Titanic lay and were able to send submersibles down there, they found this surprising reality. There was no catastrophic hole in the Titanic. What they found was these little slits. Well, little. I mean, they were big, but in proportion, little slits along the side, multiple slits, five or six of them, in the watertight holds. It wasn't catastrophic initially. It was these small things that then let in the water that caused it to flood and caused it to sink with all that loss of life. And that's a lot like life. There is, on occasion, just out of a blue, we do something so ridiculously ignorant that really tanks us. But usually, it has been a series of smaller compromises that we've made. Little breaches of integrity where we've said, it's not that big of a deal. That then leads us to something that's more catastrophic. The stories could be told over and over and over again. Jesus left us here and he said, "You are the light of the world." And that's what we get to be. But our light will be under a bushel if we're not striving to be people of integrity. So if we are committed to this, we have the opportunity of validating the name of Jesus Christ, the cause of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to a skeptical but very, very, very hungry world. The integrity of the upright will guide them. Father, would you help us just to really be, I'm using the word a lot, but ridiculously honest with ourselves. And would you instill within every single one of us this understanding of what we are called to be? And if there are things that we need to change about the way that we function, the way that we act when we're with one crowd or another, the way we handle our finances, our business affairs, whatever. If there are changes that you would have us make, speak that clearly to us, I pray, so that we would be the people of God in this dark, dark place, brightly shining the light of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name, for his sake, for his glory. Amen.